So by causeless mercy, everything began. By causeless mercy, everything continues. It's causeless mercy alone. Because through causeless mercy, we are getting devotional service. Yet what is causeless mercy? Because it seems that surrender attracts Krishna. Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstadeva vajamyam. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. And so many other verses are indicating surrender. So how is mercy causeless when surrender is rewarded? Naham prakasa sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. I cover myself for those who are not my devotees. So then, everything seems to be caused by surrender, by devotional service. So how can we speak? Why is the mercy causeless? It doesn't seem to be causeless. But the mercy is causeless because Krishna has no obligation. Krishna has no need. Krishna is Atmaram. Krishna is fully satisfied within himself. It is, nor are we deserving in any way. We know that better than anyone else. We know our own shortcomings better than anyone. So, how are we deserving? Still, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Chatusloka, in the 10th chapter, in the verse Te sam evanagamparatam aham akyana jamtamaha nasiyamya tlavavastu akyana divena vasvataha. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Purport. When Lord Chaitanya was in Benares promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, thousands of people were following him. Prakashananda Saraswati, a very influential and learned scholar in Benares at that time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, that is not the fact. There are very, very learned scholars who've put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literature, or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he's helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. The modern philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by the Supreme Lord. Those who are engaged in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education and even without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, are still helped by the Supreme God, as stated in this verse. The Lord tells Arjuna that basically there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by speculating. For the Supreme Truth is so great that it is not possible to understand him or to achieve him simply by making a mental effort. Man can go on speculating for several millions of years, and if he's not devoted, if he's not a lover of the Supreme Truth, he will never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Only by devotional service is the Supreme Truth Krishna pleased, and by his inconceivable energy he can reveal himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, and with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. Due to the contamination of material association, through many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism. But when one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service, and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious, because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. Krishna is always residing within the heart of every living being. And interesting is that when the living being turns away from Krishna, that Krishna is also there as the super soul. He expands himself as the super soul, and as the super soul he's witnessing all the entire sojourn of the living being. He's known as Upadrasta and Anumanta. Upadrasta means the overseer, and Anumanta means the one who gives permission. Without Krishna's permission, nothing in this universe can come to pass. Maya jakshina prakite suyate sacharacharam. He tunanena kuntaya. Krishna is the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Nothing happens without Krishna. Still, Krishna wants to see from the devotee, from the living being, a sign of voluntary service. That story of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip, Vishvambar, the Brahmana. Ananta says, personally had appeared on his chest as a Brahmin thread. And in this way, in his Brahminical pride, in his opulence, Nimai, Vishvambar, was wandering around in Navadvip, accompanied by Nityananda, who had recently arrived. Then one day, a sannyasi saw the Lord in all his splendor, and he thought, such a wonderful Brahmana. He said, I wish you a long life, a beautiful wife, great wealth, and great learning. May you be blessed. Lord Chaitanya replied and said, is this a blessing? Sounds more like a curse. Just see, the sannyasi said, just see the symptoms of Kali Yuga. You bless somebody and what do you get? What do you get in return? No appreciation, this age of Kali. Then Nityananda, he spoke up and said, no, sir, this young man has a special character and it's, not anybody can deal with him.
You know, I know him very well. Yes, don't take it very serious. Sir, I appreciate very much what you did. Very much so. Ah. Oh, the sannyasi said, ah, someone who's intelligent. Mm-hmm. Ah, very nice. He said, you must come to my home and take some prasad. Then, the sannyasi took both the lords. And when they came there, they saw the sannyasi's wife. And they carried forward, went to the house, sat down, took some fruit, until the sannyasi started to say, you want some? Take it. Good stuff. Take. His wife tried to hold him back. But Lord Chaitanya asked Lord Nityananda, what is this ananda? Then Nityananda said, wine. Immediately, Lord Chaitanya jumped up from that place and went to the Ganga and jumped with his clothes in the water, followed by Nityananda, who jumped right after him. Then the lords came out. So, I like the pastime because it's sort of, it's amazing that this personality was getting mercy. And he's getting mercy of the Lord. And at the same time, the lords also ran away. So it's interesting because why didn't they run away when they saw that this so-called sannyasi had a lady at home? I mean, wasn't that the time to sort of run away? I mean, normally you would you? I think so. That's the stage where you would expect the running to start. How did they still go to the house and sit down and take the fruit? How was it possible? Why did... That's the bewildering part in the story. But the part is they didn't run because sitting down and taking some fruit, that was the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Who saw that Vishwambar spoke the truth. When the sannyasi offered his blessings, Vishwambar said, doesn't look like a blessing, looks more like a curse. Long life in the material world, who wants it? Let's go back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. So much material entanglement, who desires all that? So these kind of blessings we don't want. Certainly his blessings were not great. But because he had rendered voluntarily some service to the Lord, out of his own desire, unasked for, he got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Whether he was fallen and a debauchee or not, he had rendered voluntary service, and for that he got the mercy. So for that reason, Lord Chaitanya also went, and they just ignored his fallen behavior. The second time, then he was just coming out with his old sinful habits, and there was no gain in reciprocating any further. So the lords then left that contaminated situation. So the fact that sannyasi got the mercy, that was causeless mercy. That was the causeless mercy of Nityananda because he didn't deserve it. And Lord Chaitanya, he got the causeless mercy against anything. But he did something. He had rendered some voluntary service. Because this is the signal that the Lord requires. And Nasiyami at Mabhava Stow, the Lord is waiting within. Not only as the super soul, but as Krishna personally, he's waiting to reciprocate with devotional service. But first he wants to see an initiative from our side. He wants the living being to take the initiative, to show that it's voluntarily. and Krishna is waiting. Anaribhaya Mukha. Since time immemorial, we are here in the external energy, and still we haven't turned to Krishna. So Krishna is waiting. Krishna is waiting and waiting and waiting, and he sends some reminders. He is trying in various ways, and he says, yes, 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 just now coming, yes, yes, and then not coming at all, like this. But when the devotee, when one renders voluntary service, then there is the mercy. Even when one renders unknowingly some service, there is the mercy. Namabhas, accidentally chanting the holy name. Gorbachev was the president in the former Soviet Union who let the devotees out of jail. Gorbachev. I thought, how many times had he heard the name of Gorbachev? So, in this way, Namabhas, it was not surprising that he was the one who did that service. That was a service. For that service, he'll be unlimitedly rewarded. He didn't have to do it. He did it. It was his initiative. He decided to do it. And that will be his eternal credit. And why? Simply because his name was Gorbachev. So, because of hearing the name, everything happened in his life. And then, he made the right choice. And Krishna will certainly reciprocate his life. Most auspicious. Probably one of the heads of state of the entire century who kind of did the best, looking at the track record so far. So Krishna's mercy is causeless, and yet in reciprocation with the devotee. Because if the devotee doesn't take any initiative, then how can we speak of voluntary love? So therefore, that has to be there. But then the amount of mercy has nothing to do with the amount of service. And in that sense, it's causeless. You cannot say that it's a reciprocation for the service that we've rendered, because we're getting so much more. What service did we really do? How much was it anyway? We know very well, not that much. So in this way, we understand the causeless mercies of Krishna that comes into the life of a devotee, of a living being, and continues life after life. And previous service can have such amazing effect. We had this old man who, during lunch in the Czech summer camp, just dropped dead on the floor. Suddenly fell on the floor and started dying. And there were 400 devotees for lunch. So all the devotees were chanting. And the temple president called an alarm number, and they sent a helicopter. And they tried to revive him. And with the electric shocks and the heart and this and that. And 400 devotees were praying, let him die. 400 devotees were chanting. And he did die. Yes, Hare Krishna. What more do you want? to to
leave in the middle of a kirtan
with 400 devotees, or do you want to leave 3 days later in the hospital all alone in a room? No, let him go now. And he left in this way. And then nobody really knew this man, you know, just some sort of old man, regular clothes, you know, no tilak, no neck beads. And there he was. And he said, who is this man anyway? And then someone knew him. He said, oh, he was one of my regular customers over the years. He bought many books from me. In fact, he bought the entire Bhagavatam. And actually, recently he finished it. And he said, after he finished it, he said, are there any more books? Do you have anything else? And then he said, then I told him, said, why don't you come to our summer camp? Yeah, this summer camp. He said, okay, I'll come. So he came. And it was his first day that he was there. And that morning, he had walked around Tulsi. And for the first time in his life, he had chanted on beats. And he had seriously chanted. And then, he made it till lunch. And then he left. Then he just left at the middle of lunch. I walked away after the lecture, and suddenly I heard Namaste Narasingha. Yeah, they go, what's that? It's supposed to be Sari Ravi. Something was wrong. So I went to check it out. And then by that time they were chanting Hare Krishna. And it was so auspicious. It wasn't unpleasant at all, because this man, everyone was thinking, this is amazing. This man got so many blessings. There's no doubt that he went back to Godhead. Yeah? No doubt. And Jayananda left, Prabhupada said, oh, he heard the chanting of the holy name, and he left up then, he went back to the spiritual world. One hears that. So, he definitely heard it, even if he was deaf. You know, 400 people, it wasn't loud. It was very loud chanting. So the question comes to one's mind, huh? What did he do in his last life? Who was this man? And these kind of stories, they bring out the who is who question. You know, who is here tonight? Who has come? You know, who is here now? Are the demigods here in the form of the devotees? Have they come? Who am I looking at? Who is who? And who are you? That is a question. Who are we dealing with? We don't know. It is amazing if we think like that. Because life after life, it continues. And to get such mercy, one must have done something extraordinary. This man must have been very pious, and his devotional service from previous lives and from this life must have borne fruit. It must have been a continuation of previous service. And then Krishna said, yes, now you can come. Yes. Of course, sometimes Krishna says, now you can come. But then we say, yeah, well, I'll be right there. Just a moment. Just a few loose ends to tie up, and then I'll come. Just a little more time. I'm still young. Life after life. Puna punas charita charvana. I'm chewing the jute. Chewing the jute. So, this is the opportunity. We don't know who is who, although we appreciate that certainly the devotees are not ordinary and must have done great things in their last lives. But whatever may be, we don't know now. But we're not in an ordinary place. This is not an ordinary opportunity. So, yeah, if somehow or other we could do some service, it never goes in vain. Never. It's not that Krishna reciprocates with some devotees and not with others. Krishna always reciprocates with everyone for the service rendered. Therefore, there's no doubt, no doubt, that it will work. So, therefore, with great faith, we can carry on. And first, we begin our journey. I've sometimes compared it to driving. And we begin our journey driving in the night. And in the dark of night, when there's no light, you drive on the white lines. So in the beginning, it's all about the rules and regulations, the regulative principles, and we just, somehow or other, drive on the lines. But then the day comes and the light gets light gradually, and we're still driving on the road, but we also see the landscape. We're still following the regulative principles, but we also begin to experience the amazing wonder that is Krishna consciousness. So in this way, gradually our Krishna consciousness expands and we mature in devotional service. Then we begin to relish. At first we don't relish, just somehow or other. These rules and regulations, driving on the white lines, on the edge, one mistake, finished. Later on, we're driving. It's a nice lake. Okay. Nice road. Like that. So gradually, taste awakens in spiritual life, and then, of course, then we appreciate more and more how much causeless mercy of Krishna we are getting. In the beginning, we sort of feel everyone got the mercy of Krishna, but he forgot me. That's just like somehow or other, you know. Krishna gives everyone the mercy, but he forgot me. I'm the one. Everyone else got, but I didn't get him. Somehow or other, in the beginning we feel like that. But then after some time, everyone gets attracted to Krishna. Everyone develops higher taste. Not only some, everyone. Everyone. Everyone develops attachment to some service. Right? You know, at one point, like, no, this is my service. Isn't it? No one else can do it. Yeah. So that's the beginning of the causeless mercy, that we can do some service. That's what it is. Okay, used up a lot of energy in the kirtan. So, any questions or comments?
I have two questions. First question is like you gave this example of person living body in the stop kirtan. And he was like regular customer.
He was?
He was not having any connection with devotees.
No.
He was not a devotee. So, I also heard many examples like this, you know, devotees distributing books and suddenly somebody comes and looking at book, he left his body, you know. Mm-hmm. Examples like that. We know that we get Guru by the mercy of Krishna, you know, to achieve Krishna, we need mercy of Guru. We need to have Guru actually. If you want to go back to, as your ultimate goal, that is, you know, kingdom of God. So, we should consider these are the exceptional examples, or like,
sure.
We have to be always in Guru Shishya Parampara to, if you want to present to others, you know, we must promote that, you know, you have to have Guru if you want to achieve ultimate.
Sure. Yeah. Yes, in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada describes it and says that sometimes somebody gets an honorary degree from a university. They just give him a degree. He wrote some book and, you know, became very well read, and it was a very well written book, and they just give him a degree, an honorary degree. But that's very rare, and you can't wait for that. Normally you go through the university procedures to get a degree. No, I'll get an honorary degree. Mm. Yeah. Like, come on, get real. You're just lazy. It doesn't work like that. So, in spiritual life, normally we follow the process of sadhana bhakti. And the process of sadhana bhakti begins with Adho Guru Pada's Raya. First, taking shelter of the spiritual master, hearing from the spiritual master, serving the spiritual master, taking initiation from the spiritual master, like that. Those are the first three principles of sadhana bhakti. So, that is there. But it is said sometimes, also Srila Prabhupada describes the Nectar of Devotion, sometimes somebody becomes very advanced, very quick, apparently without any reason, even without disconnecting, even without connecting to a spiritual master. Suddenly becomes very advanced. So then we must understand that he has already achieved a great level of advancement in his previous life. So then that's somehow or other revived by contact with the devotees, that means by Vaikuntha Padarshak, by Siksha Guru, but then it immediately is manifesting a high level of advancement. Or some special mercy comes that a devotee, that a person gets the opportunity to leave the body in the middle of the devotees, like that, due to previous service. Then one can attract this kripa siddha, this perfection through mercy, instead of sadhana siddha, perfection through the regulated process of devotional service.
Yeah. And my another question is that you were mentioning that understanding the importance of, you know, with whom we are dealing with, like saying that devotees may be lying, you are telling that they, these are devi powers, you know, we should look at that.
Maybe.
So, how do, but because of our conditioning, we are always, you know, we always judge devotees by their externals, you know, by their external behavior, even though they are senior devotees, you know, everybody has a, own way of dealing. So, how to get out of this conditioning, actually, you know, how to get out of this conditioning, looking at everyone so precious.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Dik Vijay Pandit, Keshava Kashmiri, he told him, "You have become very proud," and said, "but one must be like a tree. A tree, when its branches are filled with many fruits, naturally bows down." So it is through these qualities, so the verse says one must be more tolerant than a tree, more humble than a blade of grass, and one must be ready to offer respects to all others, not only devotees, but all others. So we must be respectful to all living beings. Every living being is valuable. Some are bewildered and valuable. That's all. Some are But every living being is valuable and therefore is still respected and still gets opportunities and so on. So one must be ready to offer all respects to others. That's all. It's the only way. And if we don't voluntarily become humble, then Krishna will make us humble. That's the situation. He will make us humble. The whole world is designed to make people humble. See, because we're all, you know, you grow up and you're just never really big enough, old enough, strong enough to do all the things you want to do, right? For a long time. And it's really frustrating that you're just not big enough, old enough, strong enough to do all these things. Right? And you can't wait until you're finally there. Right? And then you're there. Yeah, you know, now I'm there. And then before you know it, you start losing it, you know, and little by little you lose it, and after some time, eventually it gets bad, you know, you're really losing it. To a point where everyone starts saying, he's lost it. It's like, as I was saying, you know, like, when I came flying to here, and for the first time in my life, young people stood up for me in the bus. That shocked me, you know. It's like, God, it's really bad now. I'm over the hill. I gotta get a t-shirt now that says, oh, I'm over the hill. So little by little, we got reduced. You got reduced. There you are, old, and you've lost it all. How will that be? It's humbling. It's quite humbling. So there's a natural mechanism in the world to make people humble. That's the whole purpose of the material world. To bring us to our knees. That we bow down to Krishna, bow down to his devotees. Bow down, mister.
Even though it may be artificial, but better to take it voluntarily.
Even if it's artificial, well, yeah, like better a blind uncle than none, you know. Yes. Maybe it gets real after some time.
In the purport, it's mentioned that even if one doesn't follow the instructions of spiritual master, but if you're sincere, Krishna will help.
Yeah.
How can one be sincere?
Well, you know, I mean, so we're not so a little bit sincere. Maybe not completely sincere. But to the point where we are trying to be, at least to be a devotee. But all the instructions of the spiritual master are a lot, you know. And sometimes, how can you follow them all? So like that, so, you know, here and there, like, you know, what can I do? Due to bad habits, we are kind of, yeah, we cannot follow everything. It's just too difficult. So that's why. And then Krishna helps us. And we're too weak, too independent, too rebellious, too all these things. Due to bad habits. Lazy. So much work. Then Krishna will make a rich. So that counts as a level of sincerity. That at least the general commitment is there. I'm gonna be a devotee. But maybe not a first class. Yeah. So maybe the sincerity of the Ganesha. But it's sincere. Are we done? I'm kind of done.
I have one, I don't know if I'm going to phrase this correctly, but in terms of taking shelter of the spiritual master and then rendering service to your spiritual master, in your mind, do you then do your services, everything you do, is it then with the understanding of I'm doing it for my spiritual master or I'm doing it for Krishna? Like, who do you think of when you do service?
Well, I'm doing it for both. I'm doing it for Krishna, I'm doing it for the spiritual master. By the grace of my spiritual master, I can do some service for Krishna. Without him, I couldn't do anything for Krishna. I mean, without him, how could I maintain doing anything for Krishna? But my spiritual master, he has given me this service, which is certainly very pleasing to Krishna. Therefore, through my spiritual master, I'm serving Krishna. So the two are coming together. We can serve Krishna when we're on the altar and we're serving the deity and making nice arrangements for Krishna and so on. That's fine. But we still know I'm here by the grace of my spiritual master, not by my own qualification. I'm not qualified actually, but my spiritual master is so merciful that he allows me anyway. And here I am now. Dressing the deity, although I'm totally not qualified for this. But still, I know it works because my spiritual master's prayer is there. So, in this way, like it's not only like, you know, that personal service to the spiritual master is the highest kind of thing. No? It's like anything to spread the glories of Krishna in the world. Oh, immediately the spiritual master is, his eyes light up. Oh. You know, from the time that we really surrender to a spiritual master, we become his property. We're completely his property. So therefore, our whole existence is now dedicated to him. We're his property. But for him, we do something for Krishna. That's direct also.
Okay, Maharaj. You, on Monday, when you started the talk, you spoke about, you said, in Krishna consciousness, it's about who we know. You know, because you know, such people, they're the ones who bring us closer to Krishna. My question is, how do we come to this level of understanding where, you know, amongst devotees, and also in the association of devotees, where we basically learn to appreciate each other? You know, because I find that...
Well, that's why we have a culture. We have a culture in our movement, you know, to offer respect to senior devotees. You give them big cushions, big pillows, the size of a mattress sometimes. So everyone can see, oh well, that one I better give some special respect. Look at the size of that pillow. That's really big. And so on. Or, you know, lots of flowers and so on. 3 kilos of flowers on your neck. You know, it's pretty obvious. Like that, there are external signs in our culture. And the senior Vaishnavas are pointing. And they point. There is an advanced devotee. So in that way, the Vaishnavas are worshipping the Vaishnavas and make it clear to us how to distinguish between. We worship all the Vaishnavas, but then we distinguish between Vaishnavas and some, understanding that some are topmost Vaishnavas, some are intermediate Vaishnavas, some are in the beginning stages, Kanista Madhyam Uttam, and so on. So, like that, we make some distinction.
But then, Maharaj, you find that in that culture that you're talking about, that then there's, you know, because of that distinction between, you know, the different levels of devotees, that we start, you know, amongst like the, I would say like our peers, we start to criticize and to treat each other like in a negative way, than actually helping each other to, you know, to advance spiritually. So how do we, my question is basically, how do we get to that level where we sort of, you know, understand that, you know, what's the goal and how to get there together?
Gradually, sankat. In the beginning we make so many mistakes in our dealings with devotees and in general. We're so much influenced by passion and ignorance, and therefore we make many mistakes. And either we learn through hearing, and if we don't learn through hearing, then we learn through experience. And if we learn through experience, means we get in trouble. And then we, then we learn. Like in my case, I can say I didn't learn much from the scriptures at all. Most I learned from life itself, from the school of hard knocks. And then the scriptures helped me to understand life a little better. Because it says, first class person learns by hearing, second class person learns through experience, third class person, even after hearing, even after experience, doesn't learn at all. So, like that, we will learn. It will take time. Good. I think time is up. Thank you all very much. And we'll start again tomorrow in the morning. Shiva Bhakti Jai.